to A Nightmare on Fear Street.
We're Trent and Sheree, and we're chatting about the fiercest genre.
Expect hot takes, cold drinks, and a couple of fights.
Check out the link in the episode description to connect with us via the usual socials, Patreon, and our YouTube channel. All right, everyone. We are back today, and we are covering House of the Devil.
That's right, y'all. Surprise, surprise. We's here in May, which is the month that Trent was born, with a theme that I think that y'all will know which one of us chose. Category is religious trauma for your mama.
I have to say, and I like, yes, I'm so glad you put it that way, because this is probably my favorite theme we've ever had. I love the name. It is right up my alley. I am here. Let's go. Let's get into this, because like, damn.
If we had a dollar for every time you said, it's my bread and butter when religious trauma comes up, or when you find a way to get the conversation of religious trauma.
I literally guessed it on Bloody Broads because they were like, you like religious trauma. And I was like, yes.
Listen, I know you like vodka. You live in Arkansas and you're here for the religious trauma. And you know what?
And I like the dick. That's about all you got to know.
That's all you got to know. It's like,
what else is there?
People been tuning in. So like, that brand works.
But yes, this movie is steeped in religious drama, especially like it opens. So this movie opens with like from the 1970s to the early 80s, there was like the huge satanic panic situation. And like, I really did enjoy how this movie was shot. It felt like it was shot like it was made in the late 70s, early 80s. Like, yeah. It was giving me straight up like When a Stranger Calls vibes. Like, I was getting When a Stranger Calls vibes.
If it didn't say it was in 83, I would have felt it was in the 80s, because it is, it definitely understands the assignment. Like, one of the things I can't take away from Mr. Ty West, or T.I. West, as some of our friends used to call him. One of the things I cannot take away from this man is he likes a throwback, and he understands what was going on in those throwbacks. Whether or not it's effective is a different argument to be made. And that's case by case per movie, because sometimes, yes, sometimes, Pearl. But but he loves a throwback. And I was thinking about it when I was rewatching this for this podcast. The one movie from him before Pearl that I was like, nah, miss me, was a modern movie. The Innkeepers. I don't rocks with that one.
I haven't seen it.
It's my least favorite. And you know I hate Pearl.
That's saying something. So, looking at his IMDb page, I am kind of a Ty West stan account, even though I do agree with you on Pearl to a certain degree. I don't hate it as hard as you do, but it's not great.
Me and her got
beef. I love X.
I liked X.
The Scream TV series he worked on. he worked on a medical drama that I really enjoy.
Which one?
The Resident.
I don't know that one.
There was something else on here that I was like, you worked on that too? So, you know what? Okay, me and Ty can mess around. We can talk about some stuff.
We got this in X, basically. So he's batting 50-50 for me. I'm not going to count the Scream series, even though I got thoughts. That's a different side. There's so many things that could have and should have, and they didn't. Yeah.
That's fair. But so when I first watched this, because I watched it when I was a wee babe when it came out, you know, in the womb.
She had letterbox going on down there in her box.
I did not like this movie when it came out because, and I still agree, it is too slow.
It is too slow.
I need the pace to be picked up like 30%. I wish the first hour and 15 minutes had the same energy as the last 20. Because that last 20 minutes is like balls to the wall, like wild now.
That's a Ty West-ism. Because if you put this next to X, same problem. Like, I forgot X was going to be a slasher because we were just hanging out, singing songs, doing porn. And I was like, oh, yeah. And people started dying. I'm like, oh, I forgot. This is a horror movie. Mr. West likes to meander. He will not be rushed. And he's his own editor, which is part of the reason he will not be rushed. Because you getting half your own supply. I wish he had an editor that was like, we're cutting some shit. We're going to get out here in less than an hour and a half. Because I think that would make some of his choices make more sense. Because not to keep bitching about Pearl, even though we got beef, one of my biggest issues with her is she's too fucking long and everything lasts for too long. And so everything has the same weight and not everything needs the same amount of weight.
And I feel like with this film and X, I feel like he does meander a little bit, but it has, these two movies don't bother me with that as much as Pearl does.
Same.
Pearl does do that with that. Really, yes.
I've forgiven these two movies because I saw Pearl. But because again, it's a small critique. It's a small, because we've seen men who meander for hours. At least,
look at you, Rob Zombie.
Listen. at least Mr. Westgate is out in under two. I wish it was sometimes under 90. Because I feel like he's got good stuff for the most part. He does. Like, The Innkeepers is the only one I'm just like, nothing there to save. Because I can even find stuff with Pearl I would like to see remixed. On that episode, I talked about the things I would like to see remixed. So he's got the ideas. I just think that sometimes when we don't know brevity can be our friend, we do things. Because again, I discovered this movie because Josh Conkle tweeted about it. And that's how I find most of the weird movies I find. Because Josh Conkle, we watching that weird shit, which is why we've had Josh on a couple times now. And I was like, I don't know this movie, but I want to know this movie because it looks cool. And so I watched it and I was like, oh, it's fine. And then I saw X and then I saw The Innkeeper. No, I saw Innkeepers, then X, and then Pearl. And I was like, this is one of the better movies he's made. I actually like it more than X. I think that might be my hot take. So if I have to pause down there, y'all, that's what happened. I did it again. Oops, I think I did it again. I played with my hot take. I think that this is his strongest movie. And I think it's because, again, he does those old school aesthetics. And this one, it really sings. It really does sing. Like, the tight-knit shots, the grainy footage, the color scheme, all of it. Even the jump scares feel very much of something I expect from the 80s.
I literally felt like I was watching a film from, like, because I forgot they said it was 83, but it felt like somewhere between 78 and, like, 84. Like, it really felt that time period. And it the attention to detail that Ty West does specifically, and I'm specifically in this film and in X, is chef's kiss. The way that the camera moves, the way that the edited, what the sound effects, that phone ring that's like, mm-hmm. I was like, am I watching When a Stranger Calls? Like, brrr, like super loud. Like, yes. I love the attention to detail. Just speed it up a little bit.
Just a little bit. Because this movie, let me look at the actual runtime, so I'm talking about my ass. This movie's an hour and 33 minutes. I think it had been an hour 25. We would have lost a lot of things we didn't need. Because a lot of it is just sort of luxuriating. And again, that was something that was of its time in the 80s. Because we've all seen those slashers where they forgot they were slashers. And they're like, we're going to let these people act who can't really act yet. And we're just like, it's what it was. And we find it charming now. And these actors can act. So that's also helps.
I keep referencing this movie, but like When a Stranger Calls kind of has the same problem, right? Like
that middle section
and even parts in that first section, it's like, did we need to like see her pick up her books? I you know, it
that
is
first
very well done.
Art. I'll fight you. Look, I'm going to Arkansas. Hold, please. Them 22 minutes is the most stressful because she's like, I'm trying to study, and he's like, ring, and her piece is disrupted immediately.
That's fair. That is fair. Yeah. But yeah, it does have that kind of meandering problem. So, you know, maybe Ty West just watched too much of the 70s and 80s films.
Didn't we all? And to be fair, the 70s and 80s, people were doing a lot of the coke. And so that's where a lot of that meandering came from. And a lot of the people doing weird line readings. I think that because these actors are stronger actors than some of the movies that I'm thinking of when I talk about the ones in the 80s right now. I'm not going to name no names. People be like, how dare you? I fucking love that bitch. She's mother. So I'm not going to name no names. But there was some questionable acting in some of those 80s movies. Definitely. That we all grew up on, and we have a soft place for them. But like when we take them apart, they don't really hold up as great films. Which is why when people cover them on podcasts, the film bros are like, how fucking dare you? And you can like something and be like, it's not 100% award-winning material. I like a lot of things that don't deserve awards. And I like a lot of things that do. And it's knowing the difference that makes us better at navigating that and better reviewers and critics and consumers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I also, the 80s were sketch, y'all. They were sketch. Like, there's so many things in this plot that were red flags. So many things. Number one, I didn't know you could call back public phones before there was caller ID. I mean, I knew you could, but how'd you know the fucking number? Like,
she left her dorm number, actually.
Yeah, she did not. And she says, how did you get this number?
Yeah, that's the devil at work.
The devil at work. Then, why is he wanting to meet her now? Like, immediately, I'm coming to right now. That's creepy. Number three, so men, stop commenting on the way the babysitter looks. Stop. No babysitter wants to hear, oh, you're cute. No babysitter wants to hear that. None of them. Not one.
No, it was gross. And I was like, you better release Satan real fast. Otherwise, I'm mad.
But I will say, relatable, and probably one of the most universal feelings is the fucking fact that capitalism is the worst. Like, the only reason she's taking this job is so she can get out of this fucking dorm room where her roommate who fucks everything that moves, like, and get a house or an apartment. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the real life? Like, fuck, damn, shit.
Her roommate fucking in the common shared room and being like, fuck your feelings, fuck your homework, fuck your life, reminded me of Urban Legends. Yes. Because that roommate was like, you left me alone for 5 minutes. I'm getting it in. And I don't know how people did dorm life, because I could never.
I did it with someone you know, and it was a choice.
Listen, I just need privacy if I'm going to be like dropping my drawers. I can't be like, oh, are y'all doing football tonight?
He did not. And I was sick. I was so mad. I'm still mad.
I can't. And I was homeschooled, so I had a phase. But like, now that I am a sophisticated older lady, because I mean, like, some things went down in some public spaces, but that's different. It wasn't just like, look at me.
And if I'm not people trying to consent, then sure, go ahead. I'm all for it. You know, voyeurism, that's fun. But like,
you got to work it out with your person. You got to be like, we share this room. I'm trying to get fucked every Friday. Can you be elsewhere?
Or if you're here, do you want to watch? Because like, listen, okay.
And if you go and watch, you need to make some snacks. Go get some Gatorades. You gotta be doing something.
You gotta refill watching. Our water glasses, okay?
Listen. Can you do my sheets? We're coming in hot and heavy. Like, I just, again, conversations. But in the 80s, they were just like, two girls in a room. But I don't think there was any care. There was no matchmaking. And also, people lie on those applications anyways. It's just like, oh, I'm so quiet. They're not quiet. They're murderers.
Truly. Truly.
I just love this house because the big gorgeous house is where the evil shit always goes down. So the second we saw it, I'm like, yeah, this is where the problem is going to go down. It's going to happen here. This is the house of the devil, I believe.
Yeah. Well, and I love that this movie is not surprising. Like, it's not... It's very, like, it is what it is. Like, it's playing on tropes. And that's the idea. That's the point. But it's still really fun the way it gets there. And it's smart that it knows what it's supposed to be doing. Very a la Scream. Like, it knows it's playing on tropes. It knows that it's going to be somewhat predictable. Mm-hmm. And it knows when to trick you and when to give you a left corner. But it also knows when to give you what you expect. Because, like, that's kind of what we expect.
I feel like that's why this would be the perfect double feature with X, because X was Texas Chainsaw Massacre and 9 other movies in a different wig with Jenna Ortega.
A better one.
Like, we've seen that movie so many times. And so we weren't being like shooketh. We were just like, it's a fun throwback because we don't see any of these that are newer. And I think that this is the way I feel about this movie. And part of his aesthetic is taking what we know and what we find comforting in horror and zhuzhing it up and making it a little bit more modernized without changing the way it should look and feel, because again, he's a throwback king. I can't take that from him. I can say all the things in the world, but I cannot be like, this man don't understand the eras in which he's reaching for.
And very specific, like I said, the detail work in this film alone is phenomenal. Like, down to the textures of the carpets, to the way that when she goes to the bathroom door has a fucking window on it. Like, right? That, how much more 80s do you need to be?
I just also really, really fucking love that we forget the 80s were a scary time. There was no cell phones. There was no public transportation. These weird ass houses out in the sticks. News didn't travel at the speed of light. And so, like, these people could have been murdering people for months and nobody would have known, because you didn't pick up the right newspaper on the right day.
Right. They did. Mm-hmm. They literally murdered a whole family. They're in the attic.
Listen, and that's what sends me about people today who won't do the Googles, because there's a lot of people on the internet who are just like, I believe this rumor. And I'm just like, why though? There's no sources cited. You didn't go Google anything. And when you try and be like, find a reliable source, y'all, don't just be like spreading this shit around. They get real mad at you. And I'm just like, why do you want to be misinformed? What is it about you that makes you need to believe every fucking rumor that goes across your screen? We have computers in our pockets. These big ass expensive phones, those are computers. Data, Wi-Fi, however you want to Google it. You can be like, I want to know if Jenna Ortega really is going to be an X99. Boop, boop, boop. There is no X99. Done.
I just don't believe anything I read on the internet until I hear it from someone or something that I personally see is reputable.
I am forever. I found out, I did not know that this was a major annoyance, but I have this major annoyance. And maybe it's because we're going into election season and people need to fucking read. And so, like, if you're going to believe anything that's written about Melissa Barrera and you won't go find a reputable source, because I work at Dread Central, but I list all the reputable sources when I catch people doing this shit. I'm just like, if you don't want to read Dread, I'm not here. I'm just like, there's Fangoria, there's Rue Morgue, there's Blair Disgusting. There's all of these like YouTube channels that are legit. Like, these are people who actually do things. And if none of them are breaking this new story, this is a person trying to get clout. And people are like, no, he was right one time. And I'm just like, I can make you go to the water, but I cannot make you drink.
I can show you where it is, but that's right? All I can do.
And I worry that these people are going to go out here and vote with because of a meme they saw on Twitter or on Facebook, or because their auntie felt it in her knee. And I just need people to fucking read.
Yeah, it's all fucked. It's all fucked. Oh, and like, for some reason, I don't know why, but because I'm in a few groups and literally they're annoying me, so I'm probably going to leave soon. But like, Scream fans are the fucking worst.
Listen.
There is no news about any Scream 7. Like, there's nothing. It's probably dead in the water. Like, let it go. But they're like, Nev's coming back. Or this is coming back. Or it's going to be a reboot with Nev. And I'm just like, none of this. You have no... This is your own coked out fantasy.
there was this bigger account on Twitter. And he literally got his following by just spreading rumors. And he's always like, it's a rumor. But, and people were sharing that shit. And that's when I was like, come on, y'all. Y'all know better. Y'all know if Melissa Barrera was meeting with Spyglass, somebody would have reported on that. They would have reported on that. If Courtney Cox and them were coming back for Scream 7, there would be some news somewhere.
Right.
You can't just be like, he was right 3 years ago when he said that one thing that everybody else already knew, and be like, I'm going to stand in my wrongness and I'm be loud about it. And that's why I have to get off the internet, because I'm getting
told. That's how we need to go touch some grass or touch some floor or something. Get off, put the phone down.
It's not that hard to take the keywords of what you just saw. Melissa Barrera, Spyglass. Go to Google. Go to news if nothing pops up recent and be like, oh, there's no recent news. This must be a lie.
Truly.
Yeah. Or follow the people that you say you are fans of. And that way, when there is news,
they'll probably share it.
The second they sign those contracts and can talk about it, they will. You don't have to be all like, she just can't say it because of, they did not fly her around the world to do anything and then send her back. She did not give you a Christina Aguilera quote on the way out. I'm sorry, Britney Spears. That was a Britney Spears commercial that they were quoting. And I was like, are y'all, what is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with
way
all of
you? Way to bring back old beef, Sheree. Way to bring back.
Listen.
We let the Britney Christina go for a long time now.
No, they were just like, Melissa Barrera said, I'm not a girl, but I'm not a woman, and walked out. And I'm like, y'all are all embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
Basic ass quote. I forgot what it was, but it was definitely Britney from a perfume ad or something from the 90s. And they were like, she's such a badass. She's mother. And I'm like, she's mother for the thing she's actually saying. Go follow her. She's actually saying things you should be looking at and reading because I'm worried.
She stood up and said, I thought you dropped into the ocean in the end.
She said, hit me, baby, one more time for the last time and left.
But people are stupid.
I'm so scared. Because again, we've seen what happens when people are just like, oh, I believe the memes and the rumors, and I'm gonna go vote because I hear this, this, and that. Like, we have a shitty system, y'all. It's not fun. As a Black woman, it's not fun having to vote for the least harmful option every fucking time. But if you educate yourself, you'll know why the other options are at least worse, so you can sleep a little bit better at night.
Yes.
You can't be like, let's shake it up. Susan Sarandon said so at one time on a late night show when she was living her best white woman life. I hate her now.
I wish I didn't, because I used to love her so much. Anyway, we don't need to know. She was just like,
I'm the problem. Again, the bigger the hat, the bigger the problem.
Don't tell Meryl Streep and Death Becomes Her that.
Listen, the bigger the hat, the bigger the problem. Who was the real villain? Look.
So, I just want to say, back to this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I always find it really interesting when I see a director that I respect a lot about in an acting gig before they started directing. In this one, we have Greta Gerwig playing Megan, another white girl name, playing generic white girl name. And I thought she did well. I thought she did. It was a good performance. And also, I just got to plug Dee Wallace. Hello, childhood. When I saw her, I said, What's my mama doing on the screen right now? Because, like, if you look up Dee Wallace, if you don't know who she is, which you should, she is the mother in literally all of your childhood.
Cujo, Sleepwalkers. She's the one E.T. having sex with her son. Like, she's still be getting around. I saw her I can't talk about that movie no more because me and that filmmaker are fighting. They had to get creepy, so I had to block them and report them a few times. But she's still working. Like, I think that her and Barbara Crampton are like two of the most known actors who are always working from that era.
Dee Wallace and Barbara Crampton remake of Death Becomes Her.
No. Nobody. No, I'm gonna strike that from the record right now.
It'd be so funny. Anyway, sorry.
I'm looking at Greta's list because I think this is the only thing I've ever seen her in. Did I ever see Baghead? No, I did not see Baghead. That's a different movie than I thought it was. So this is the only thing I've ever seen her in, but I knew she was an actor / filmmaker. She doesn't normally do things I want to see. And so I didn't know that was her because I saw her name across the screen and I was like, I don't know, probably one of the Satanists. And so when the credits are rolling, I was like, oh, she was the friend.
Oh, she was the friend who couldn't smoke and drive at the same time. She had to stop. Did they not do that in the 70s or the 80s? Did they not, like, I'm pretty sure my mom did in the 90s. So, like, you can light your cigarette and smoke and drive at the same time. Multitask.
Listen, I had two siblings with asthma, and I did not stop my parents from smoking in the car. You can do it. You can believe in yourself. When she pulled into the cemetery near the creepy house, I'm like, are you trying to get murdered? And of course she was.
She did.
I will say the cemetery man was my favorite scare because I knew it was coming because I saw this before, but I still was like, oh.
It was so fast because it was like, I knew it was, like you said, I knew it was going to happen, also because it's telegraphed, like, pretty clearly. But he's like, oh, you're not the babysitter? She's like, no. Boom. Like, I just love how, like, X is the same thing, so it's probably a Ty West thing. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, this is the one moment that it's like, like, payoff happens immediately.
I mean the ooh happened when he put his hand in the car with a lighter.
Oh, that too, yes.
I was like, you pulling over in a cemetery? What is wrong with you, girl? Do you not have no home training? And then she was giving him the business, and she got shot. And I was like, that's what... I'm on his side because you did this to yourself.
But that effect was really nice, though. That gunshot effect, that was a good-ass gore moment, which we don't get a lot in this movie, but, like, it was good.
It made it worth it. I had just seen that she, going back to Greta, she was also in two episodes of The Mindy Project. And so I've seen two things she was in, because I didn't enjoy The Mindy Project because it's a romance, but also there's a brown woman with her own sitcom. So I did watch all of it because we have to support each other because nobody else will. And so I just didn't know who she was back in 2016.
That's fair. No one did. Literally, no
one did. She's been working for a minute because her film credits go back to 2006.
Yeah. No, she's been, yeah.
Her first role on Wikipedia is playing Greta in LOL.
She's AFAB, so she has to work a little bit harder to get where she is. So
I'm not going to open up that can of worms because the internet will upset me. But I will say...
Other AFABs do have to work harder than she does, but like she also has to work really hard.
That's a whole the white feminism just lost their assholes. They were just like, we gotta be the problem. And we were all like, can you just take a breath and listen to the rest? No! And we were like, fine, prove us right about Barbie. Prove us fucking right. Okay? Okay. And so
And what's sad is Greta would probably actually listen to you. So like
I'll never know because white feminism blew it all up because they were like, we're the most disrespected. And I was like, are you? Are you? Since when? Do I get privilege now? Nobody called me. Let me go outside. I have to leave the internet. But I was going to say, I was really rooting for Megan up top because she was saying all the right things. She was being the bitter friend who was like pulling down posters and shit. And so she did that thing in the cemetery. I was like, oh, you're not who I thought you were. Good night.
She made one mistake and then she got, which, I mean, it happens. You know, it sucks, but it happens.
It does, but because she was billed as so much smarter, because up until then, she was a smart friend who every virginal sidekick needs. And I was like, oh, she's going to be a badass bitch, come back at midnight and then get shot. And she was like, no, I'm going to do it now. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
I do kind of wish they would have, because like, I get it. You're right. Every like virginal ingenue has to have the smart sidekick.
The Tatum.
But... The Tatum, the Helen, the, you know, the trope, right? It's a trope, which I love tropes. But I think where Tatum and Helen get it right, where I think Megan may not have in the writing, it's not, you know, is that their choices still made sense. Like, Tatum was going to get beer for someone at a party and then saw someone dressed up in a ghost costume. Helen was literally looking out for the killer the entire goddamn time. Now, should she have ran up? Anyway, she was in the cop car and she tried to tell him to stop. I think Megan could have had some smart, like, she could have gotten the same demise because we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a trope. But give her some smart choices, right?
I figured she was going to get back to the dorm or her apartment. She might live in an apartment. And then, like, her friend would call and be like, hey, girl, this ain't it. And she'd come back for her, and that's where they would get her. And I wonder if that would have given us a little bit something else to hold on to, because we're just sort of watching our Lee get terrorized in this house, and we're like, get to the cult.
It might have helped some of the pacing a little bit.
Possibly. Because, like, again, like... Samantha, to give her credit, when it's time to get activated, she's activated. She fucks them all up real fast. And so I'm like, yes, get it. But I think it would have been spicier to be like, also, she's got to realize or run outside and see her friend's car because the friend did come back after they drugged her or whatever. I think that we could have used that to give us a little bit of something, because it was just like, she's gone. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Well, and she literally like falls in the blood of her friend in the kitchen. Like
she does. And people kept sliding that and I kept laughing. That was the gift I kept giving. People falling in blood, yes. People leaving the gun, no. Because, like, Samantha leaves the gun, and then the old lady leaves the gun, and I'm like, what is wrong with both of y'all? Like, This man's got a gun. He did. Somebody should have this weapon. I feel like Samantha's cleaning y'all out. You might want to go and pull the trigger on her in this new Satan baby. I don't know.
Are you ready for Connections on Fear Street?
Uh-oh.
Are you ready? It's a decent connection. Mrs. Ullman is played by Mary Woronov, who is also in Night of the Comet.
Are you serious?
Playing Audrey White. Ow. She's also in other things like Eating Raoul. She's in a lot of campy horror stuff.
Yeah. I want to talk about her because I got thoughts. Up top, when she meets Samantha, I thought she was hitting on her. I know she's getting her ready for Satan, but it was very, let me touch her hair and tell her how young and beautiful she is. I'm like, oh.
It felt very like that, like I said, of the time, that trope of the older woman who may be kind of lesbianic, and kind of hits on the girl, but is kind of sleazy and kind of weird. Right? That's why I think she played that role impeccably. Right. She did a great job.
Because we know this old couple has double meanings, but that girl doesn't. And so I would have been like, that old lady hitting on me. Will I get extra money if we do stuff? Because again, capitalism. Oh, she went to an apartment. You better work, bitch, to go back to Brittany. I didn't know what to do with it. Because again, that old lady was coming on to her. And I was like, girl, if you're into the older ladies, I think that this could be something if Satan don't interrupt. Leave room for Jesus, I guess. I don't know what to do with this.
Boy, did Satan interrupt.
Didn't he, though? He got bad timing. But while we're talking about Mrs. Oldman, I have to applaud this bitch because when they are having their moment in the attic, her and Samantha, this old lady calls her a bitch, starts talking to the moon, snatches off her own wig, and that's how icons get made. Those are choices. Those are moments. Those are memes. She's my favorite character. I know she's wrong, but I'm just like, I can't take my eyes off of you. No words.
Yes, she is. She is my favorite character as well. Like her and Megan, like it goes Mrs. Oldman, Megan.
Yes.
Because like Mrs. Oldman is giving the moments. Like she is giving the iconography. She is giving all the things we want to have given. I love that bitch and her.
She did the research. I mean, she was there for some of these movies too, but she definitely did the research.
She did the research by being, like you said, she was in the fucking, all these 70s, late 70s, early 80s horror flicks. She didn't need she was like, bitch, I lived this.
Right? I love that we meet her coming in a fur coat, hitting on a bitch for Satan, not for her own gains. Because she understood the mission.
Well, she might have taken sloppy seconds. We don't know.
Like, if that girl had survived giving birth to that, she probably would have been like, hey, when we get you stitched up, what you doing Friday?
Exactly.
I also just got a comment because...
Wait, I hold on. I just have to pause you real quick. Like, this fucking resume. Are you ready for this? This is Mrs. Oldman. She's in Chopping Mall.
Oh.
She's in Night of the Comet, as I said. She's in Terror Vision, Murder, She Wrote, Knight Rider, Hell Hole, Suicidal Tendencies. I don't know. Blood Theater. Like, what early 80s horror flick was she not in?
She's a genre mama. No wonder she looked familiar.
Boom. Anyway, go ahead with what you were saying. What were you saying?
I just have to make sure we talk about when Samantha finally does use the number for the pizza they left her. She orders a one-topping medium pizza that's $8. And that's when I was like, I see why the devil squad is so large if he's feeding them $8 pizzas. Because try getting $8 anything in today's world.
Also, that pizza looked real dry.
For $8, yeah. It's Little Caesars, probably. But still, I was like,
that's $5. It's still $5, okay?
Little Caesar's still $5.
I think it's like $5.55 at this point.
Satan there. He saw inflation. He's like, I gotta lure it. Can't even do $8 pizza no more. Fuck capitalism. It's hitting everybody, including people in hell. We gotta stop, y'all. Because I saw that and I was like, $8 even? No, what? just $8? $8 American dollars? And I was like,
not no euros.
No wonder people are riding and dying. And they're like, we're eating pizzas.
Yes.
I also need to rewind because I forgot to talk about how when Samantha shows up at the house and the old man is being real fucking weird. real fucking weird. I would have flipped the script and left, but also it is a comment on how women are indoctrinated to always be polite, and that's why a lot of us go missing. Because if we are rude, things might escalate, and then it's our fault. How many high school shootings? If she just got a prom with him, clearly he was not stable, so she shouldn't have been anywhere with him. How many people who rejected somebody at a bar and are no longer here? And so, like, there's no winning, but the fact that she was like, I don't want to be rude to this man. And also the capitalism angle. And so she has two things working against her. So she stays in this house, even though it's clear he's lying up top. He's like, it's actually not a child, it's my mother. And I'm like, lie number one. I can't pay to have two people here. And then offers her four times what she's making, which would have been enough for two people.
Right.
And she's just like, I can't be rude because I'm a lady in the 80s. Also, I want to have an apartment. And then she had to fight Satan.
The moral of the story is capitalism is Satan.
Listen, listen. Stop using his tools to make us work. Let us all go home.
Yeah, no, I had the same moment when I was like, but wait, he just literally 5 seconds before he says, I can't pay two people. And then she's like, no, I think I'm good. And he's like, but what if I doubled the price? I'm like, doesn't that pay two people?
And then doubled it again because it went from 100 to 400. And I was like, yes. Girl, either you can or you can't afford two people.
And in 1983, $400. Girl, I would do a lot for what that is in 2024.
$400? You could be on a plane going to Mexico before nightfall. $400 back then was a lot of money. $400 back then is like, what, $2,000 down?
Yeah, it's like a car payment. No, it's more than a car payment. That is my car payment today. So, like...
You also would have been like, okay, I'm ordering this $8 pizza. Hope nothing bad happens.
Satan. Impregnate me.
Listen, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Shoot myself in the head. You know, it happens.
Listen, I can't help but wonder what this movie would have been had she been like, no, that math is not mathing. And they both got in the car. I think Cemetery Man would have like thrown herself in front of the car or something to like stop both of them. But I do wonder if she made smart choices. I always wonder that though, because a lot of horror hinges on people making the worst choice to get to the next thing. And that sends me, even though I love this genre, but I like it when the characters are smart and they're doing smart things. Like, oh no, nope, I'm leaving. She did not.
No, she did not. She stuck around and she found out.
Right? She did. And I'm happy she ended up being a fighter because a lot of our final girls do not start off that way in their first movie. They have become that, which is why I go up for Sam Carpenter, who was like, we got to kill who to live? Done. Because name me the final girl who was so with it. She was like, who? Rolling up my sleeves. I have my own tools. Will you wash the kitchen? I'm busy in here. Whereas our final girl's like, I got to cry about it. I got to feel feels. I got to throw my weapons down. I got to be defenseless. And I think that is why I was really surprised that this girl has some fight in her. Because she was like, no. No, no, no.
She got out them shackles. Mary, listen. Mary, she got out them shackles and she stabbed the bitch. You got
it. Took the shackles off my feet so I can dance.
She did. She danced in that blood of her friend and fell once. But she danced a little bit.
She's like, I'm going to get rid of this troll person. I'm going to take that old man's cane.
That troll person came out of nowhere. I get that was grandma the whole time, but like, that was, who is this person?
I was like, what in the willow? Can you imagine waking up with a troll person in your face with a hood knocking you up with Satan's baby? Come on. You're going to need so much therapy if you survive the night.
Pouring blood down your throat? No,
you
ma'am.
Know whose blood that is? You know what ain't right?
Hepatitis? Listen. HIV? Listen. You in trouble, girl.
You in trouble. You can't just take some emergency for that. You gotta go to a doctor and explain yourself.
This is before PrEP. She didn't have nothing.
There's no way. Like, when somebody's blood is in my mouth, take me to the king.
She tried it. She survived, but she did try.
I was watching The Bone Collector the other night. That's that Denzel movie with Angelina Jolie, for those of y'all who don't know. And I don't want to give too much away, but he has to bite somebody in the ear. If you know the movie, you know.
Mike Tyson?
He had that was all he could do. So he did that. And I was like, yes, but also. You don't know where this man been. You don't know what he been doing. I have issues with blood. I can't do it. Like when...
If it's my own, I can handle it. But if it's somebody else's, you get that away from me.
I have my own. Like, what's all my grandfather, who I only met like four times before he died, was like, you should be a nurse. They make money. I was like, you clearly don't know me, old man. Like, these four visits gave you no insights. Because I would be like, ugh, blood. And just leave.
Ew.
Ew. He bled near my shoes. Oh.
Yeah, I can't do any bodily fluids of other people, like snot, blood, pee, poop, nothing.
Were you at Tipsy Tower when we were undergrad the night that I dropped Midtown Mary?
Probably, but I don't remember it clearly.
So for people listening. We were outside, it had rained recently, and I was a sandals girl because I've always hated shoes. And there was a woman who had a lot going on. Let's just say that and pretend I'm generous. And she got drunk while she was watching some of our friends hook up, because they were in the hookup stage of their relationship. And she was jealous, kept drinking, thinking she was going to get attention, and she did not. And so I don't remember who the other person was. I don't remember who the person was. But, like, she got too drunk to walk. And so she was like, will you help me carry her to the car? And so we each had one of Mary's arms around our shoulders. And, again, it had been raining a lot. So there were puddles. The bitch started throwing up. And I dropped my side of her because I will not be standing in somebody's vomit water from the rain on the ground. And I stand by that. I regret nothing.
Knowing exactly who you're talking about, and some of the listeners may too, I don't blame you. But
she deserved it. For so many reasons, she deserved it. But I was just like, how dare you? And that's when people realize I'm not the girl to call when the drunk girl's vomiting. Because I dropped her and I was like, I'll find my own way home. And I went back into the bar. Flip-flops and all.
Oh, at some point, we should write a sitcom about our days at the undergrad. Listen, there's many a story.
There's so many stories. But I thought about that. with this story.
Because we always talked about starting the green room, and it was just going to be stories of...
I used to love me and David Lavoda's shared silent looks when things were happening. It was very much like The Office when Jim's the camera, but it would be each other. And it'd be like... We had fun. We had seasons in the sun.
We had something. We had some kind of time. We had a time. That's a good way to put it.
We had a place called Tipsy Tower, y'all. We survived some things.
My mom still talks about Tipsy Tower because I think it was for graduation. She was up there and they were driving down whatever that road was with all the bars.
Pine Street.
And they were Pine Street.
That was our home. I remember her.
That was our home. And that was the original Fear Street, y'all. and she mentioned the Tipsy Tower, and I said, oh, you don't eat at the Tipsy Tower. Apparently that set off years and years of funny times for her. Like,
I'm glad we didn't get it our whole time in school, even though had we had it our whole time, I probably wouldn't have graduated. Like, let's be honest. $10 towers, y'all. We were
$10 towers.
I never had it so good. Days. That's why I didn't know I was sad my first year there. And then they closed the bar. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be in Warrensburg. This is an awful place. but yeah, no, I definitely dropped Midtown Mary that night. And I'm not
As
sad.
You should have. As you should have.
Right? Because had she thrown up on my toes.
I'm pretty sure she's a Trump supporter now, so I don't really care.
Oh, she is. Because I posted something, and I had already unfriended her, but she felt the need to say something to me, and I felt the need to block her.
Fair point. Listen, I don't even know.
Maybe she can drop anyway. Again. Back to this movie. This is my first episode with us. They're just like, do we talk about the movies? Do we ever talk about the movie? What?
We have. We've talked about a lot.
My final thought for this section of the podcast, that should be about the movie. Can you imagine to go through all of this shit? To go, Samantha had been through it this night. She lost her friend, woke up under a troll, pouring blood in her mouth, had to kill four people, two of which were old. After one of them called her a bitch. Like, I just, she'd been through it. And so to go through all that and still have to have Satan's baby? Oh, hell to the no.
Yes. This is the perfect, like, pro-choice movie. Like,
Listen, the abobos for everybody, all my friends. First round on me. I was so mad because she's there and she shot herself in the brain. And I was like, girl, you missed something because you are now in the care of this situation and you're still pregnant. We gotta think about where we're aiming next time we're trying to run away.
truly.
But yeah,
this movie.
I do really fucks with this movie more than the rest of the stuff on its resume, as far as the rest of the resume that I've seen.
All right. Well, since you've already talked about it, let's get to our hot takes.
I like that I restated my hot take, people who forgot. If you forgot, I already said it. Let me say it one more time on the way to hot takes and then get spicy and say it for the third time. I'm going to change my hot take I've shared repeatedly. I'm going to say this is one of those movies that I found myself liking a little bit more on the rewatch. So I'm happy that I rewatched it for this podcast, because sometimes we're like, that was fine or that was mid and we move the fuck on. And sometimes we say that's fine or that's mid and we mean we got to watch it again to appreciate some of the more detailed things that we might have missed the first time around.
Yeah, no, same. Absolutely. Because the last time I watched this, I did not like it because I was a wee babe and didn't understand it. So
I was like, it's fine. I've seen better. And now I've seen much, much worse.
Truly.
But I never hated it. I was just like, it's fine. I think a lot of people, we talked about it a lot. A lot of people need to be like 100 or 1, and they don't like people who are in between about movies. It's fine to be like, it's in the middle. It's fine in the middle. I'm not like out there being like, fuck him and his family. This is offensive shit. I'm just like, it's fine. I'm happy I re-saw it. I don't know if I need to like go see it again right now.
Yeah.
But I ain't got no beef.
Yeah. I do think that X is still my favorite Ty West that I've seen, but this is my second favorite now. So, yeah.
Take that, Pearl. Go on.
Serenade vengeance against Pearl.
I cannot. I mean, I can because we have a whole episode that is just me becoming unhinged as we go. But I don't understand.
It's on the Patreon. Go subscribe.
Yeah, y'all. It's on the Patreon. We've not let out into the wild because I don't want to get doxxed because some of y'all go up for Pearl and I just ain't got the time. but like, I don't know why me and her cannot be friends, because I was rooting for her in X, and then we got to her own movie and I was like, miss me. And she was like, I'm not done yet. And I'm like, bitch, if you don't go the fuck off my screen. And now we here and we got beef forever. And I really need Maxine to like give me that X energy or surpass. I do.
That's fair. My hot take is a little more cultural comment. Are you ready? So I wish that Christians, in quotation marks, would realize how much they sound like the Satanists, in quotation marks, that they so fear. Like that last scene with her before she shoots herself, I was like, this is the same shit that has been preached to me for hours and hours and hours as a queer person from a preacher on a pulpit. Like, I'm just preaching the word of God who's telling you, swap out God for Satan, and that's what we're talking about. Like, look in the mirror. Look in the fucking mirror.
I am shooketh that you said that, Trent, after years of knowing you, and you putting together a theme of save the trauma for your mama. I'm sorry, religious trauma for your mama for your birthday month. I'm so shocked you said that. I had no idea you felt that way.
But it's so like obvious. Like,
yeah, it is.
It boggles my mind how people can't fucking see this. And I say, of course, it's not fucking all Christians. Don't come at me with that. No, boo, boo, boo. Don't come at me with that. But like the same people that are pissed off. So when we were recording this, Joel Osteen's church got shot up by some woman yesterday, I think. But people go up for him and think he's so Christ-like and all this bullshit. But yet, when Texas literally had no fucking heat during the winter last year, year before, like, I don't know, whatever year that was, when Ted Cruz was leaving the state, he closed his doors. How Christ-like is that? We have Christian organizations spending $7 million, I think, or bill, I don't know what it was, on Super Bowl ads. Super Bowl ads, when you could be feeding someone, you could be housing someone, you could be giving the bare minimum to queer folks that you've been harming for decades on decades on decades, not to mention women who you've also been harming for decades on decades on decades, not to mention POC that you've been harming for decades. Like, look in the mirror. Look in the fucking mirror. Sorry.
Listen, preach.
For religious drama, I'm preaching, y'all.
I just think it's funny that, like, the heat left Texas when Ted Cruz left, because that means he really was Satan the whole time. We were not just being funny. They had a cold front the second Satan packed a bag. I'm just saying. The maths. I see the vision.
Truth.
It was Ted Cruz's house. That's the real name of the movie. House of the Ted Cruz. It all makes so much more sense, especially with that ending. Damn. Full circle.
There it is.
I'm going to bump it up in my ratings. Ty West, visionary. Vision fucking nary.
Speaking of ratings, Sheree, how many drinks you giving this one?
I'm going to call him T.I. West one more time because it makes me giggle. And I'm going to give this... I'm going to give this 3 non-spicy Bloody Marys because we're not having fun with these spicy Marys. These are unwanted spicy Marys. I want to send back, but I don't want any extra things put in it. So I'm just going to...
That's fair. I'm going to give this 3.5 holy Bloody Marys.
That's what they put that with the holy water? A couple of drops?
They put the holy water. That's what the ice is. The holy water ice.
You laughing, but that would actually go over real well in New Orleans. I'll make a phone call real quick and see if we can get...
We may or may not be planning that, so we'll see.
Listen, y'all gonna find out, because everything is...
This will be out before that happens, if it happens.
If it happens. If it don't happen, it's never happened. Again, I always wonder when people, like, because some people don't start a podcast from the beginning, they just wander into random episodes. And I always wonder if people wander in on some of these episodes where the attention span is not in the room with us.
I'm very sorry.
They are just like, I heard about their school. I heard about their lives. One of them had a bad doctor's
visit. She dropped
the
bitch because she puked on her. Like,
one of them has to drink water and is sad about it because she ain't had water in years. I'm going to start asking people, if this is your first episode of Fear Street, what do you think?
As we get followers, at so-and-so.
Right? It's like, I found out you didn't do laundry, and you was freestyling. And I was like, oh, I remember that week every year. Be more specific.
I heard you singing some weird song.
Listen, you made up a song, and I feel like it was offensive. Which episode? Be more specific.
I'm very sorry, but which one?
Which I'm sorry for all of them? Question mark. Oh, that's your first episode. Come see me after a few more.
All right, y'all. Well, that is our thoughts on House of the Devil. Thank you all so much for listening. Next week, we're going to be covering Stigmata. Sorry. Next week, we're going to be covering Stigmata with Rise from the Dead.
That's right, y'all. We're bringing in Ash and Germs. Talk about some religious trauma for your mama with one we have to cover. Because, like, if we did a religious theme and didn't do Stigmata, who the fuck are we?
We got to get Patty.
Right?
We got to get Patty Arquette.
It wouldn't be Christian to not invite her to this party. It'd be dark-sided.
Dark-sided. All right, y'all. Well, thank you all again so much for listening. And as always, make sure that you stay fierce out there.
Bye.